We're pretty insignificant in this world. But God loves us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And Jesus loved us enough to die for us. I desire an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning. Feel very much the need of the help of God. No one realized that without Him I can do nothing. And so you pray as I try to bring a message. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture this morning. It's the fourth verse from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I will refer to some other verses of Scripture as I go along. But this, of course, is known as the faith chapter, the roll call of the heroes of faith. Many, many people who are mentioned in this chapter by name, and many others whose names are not called. But the Bible said that they obtained a good report by faith. So I want to talk about Abel today. And in the fourth verse, Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. I want to use as my subject title for today, Cain and Abel. So different. They were so different. These were the first two persons who were born of woman. Adam was created by God, his body made from dust. Then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, a human being. And then God said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. So God took a rib and made Eve, brought her unto Adam. So they were created. They were not born. But then the Bible says that Eve gave birth to Cain first. He was the first that was born of a woman. And then the Bible says that Abel was born. But these two children of the same parents were so different, so very different. And the Scripture explains all of this to us. When Cain was born, Eve exclaimed, and I think she did it with great joy and great gladness. She exclaimed that I've gotten a man from the Lord. It wasn't just the fact that she had a baby, but it was the fact that she thought, that Cain was the answer to the promise that God had made to them. You remember Cain and Adam and Eve sinned. And God called them into account because of their sin. He asked Adam, he said, what is this that you've done? Then he asked Eve. He said, the woman you gave me, she gave me to eat, and I did. Then he said, Eve, what is this that you have done? And she said, well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She was deceived. Satan lied to her, deceived her. She believed him. And so she took of the forbidden fruit. And then the Lord turned to Satan. And he said, because you have done this, He said, and I might need to turn to Genesis right at this point and notice this for our benefit. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shall be thy meat all the days of thy life. And then he said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and thy seed. Thou shalt bruise he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I believe that Eve, thought that Cain was the fulfillment. He was, her child. I believe she thought that he was the one who would bruise the head of the serpent that had deceived her. And so she was very happy. She exclaimed, I have gotten a man from the Lord. But of course, Cain was not the fulfillment of that promise. Cain turned out to be a murderer. He murdered his own brother. And so he was not the fulfillment. But the promise was fulfilled. The promise was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he was indeed the seed of the woman. He did not have a natural father. He had no human being as his father. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And she conceived, and she brought forth the Son of God. And he was the fulfillment of that promise, the seed of the woman. But I want you to bear with me just for a few minutes. Abel, the Bible said, was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, now these weren't little boys that brought these sacrifices to the Lord. In the process of time, over a period of time, they had matured and they had grown into manhood. And in the process of time, the time came when they brought a sacrifice to the Lord. They brought it on the same day. They brought it to the same place. I'm of the opinion that probably it was on the seventh day, the Sabbath. The Bible tells us, that God created all things in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And he said he hallowed that day. He made it a sacred day. He made it a day for rest and for worship. So therefore, that's why I believe that it possibly was upon the seventh day, the Sabbath day, that they brought their sacrifices to the Lord. Now, each of them brought their own sacrifice and presented it to the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's was. The reason it was more excellent was because that it was a sacrifice that required the shedding of blood. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in another chapter, it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And all back through the Old Testament, all the animals that were sacrificed and their blood shed, it was a type that reminded them of the one sacrifice that will put sin away. I believe that's why Abel brought the sacrifice that he did. I think that his mother and father, Adam and Eve, had taught both of those boys about how they became sinners and how that God shed the blood of an innocent animal to cover the nakedness of their sin. We read that in the Bible in the same chapter, in this third chapter of the book of Genesis, where the Bible says that the Lord God said, now let me see if I'm at the right place. It's in the 24th, the 23rd verse maybe. Let me read 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take of the also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned everyone to every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And that's not the verse that I intended to read. But what happened, and I'm going to see if I can find that verse because it's important to what I'm trying to set forth. I know it's in there, but I can't see it. So I'll just tell you about it. God, he covered them. You know, they were naked. And they were ashamed of their nakedness. That nakedness represented their sin before God. God could see and he knew what they did. They were unclothed and they were not ashamed before the sin. But after the sin, they were ashamed and they were afraid and they hid themselves from God. And so God killed an animal. And he took the skins of that animal and he made clothing for them to cover their nakedness. And of course, that was a picture, that was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood that we might be covered with the righteousness of God, so that the shame of our nakedness would not be visible, and that would not be upon us, because our shame had been hidden by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so I think that they had taught Cain and Abel this story about how God had shed blood to cover them. I have no doubt that that animal that was slain to cover them was a lamb. Because down through the years, you know, under the law, in the types and shadows, it was a lamb that was slain. On the Day of Atonement, that would take away their sins. And so when Jesus came, he was identified by John the Baptist as being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I want you to keep all of this in mind if you can. I apologize for not being able to locate that verse of Scripture, but I assure you that it's in the Bible. But anyway, I want you to notice this. By faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. He did it in faith. I believe because of the teachings of his parents about how God shed blood to cover their sins. And I believe that he believed that. And so he brought a lamb and he offered it to God. And the Lord accepted it. The Bible said that he obtained witness that he was righteous. He was a righteous man. And God testified to that fact. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. And I'm reading to you today from the voice of Abel. He yet speaketh. He was a righteous man. He proved that by what he did. He brought the sacrifice of a lamb and shed its blood. Well, Cain brought the fruits of the ground, for he was a farmer. And so the Bible said that God did not have respect to Cain's offering. And you might think, well, now that's not fair, you know. But it was fair. And the reason that Cain did not bring a lamb was because he was not a righteous man. And I'm going to show you that from the Word of God here in just a few moments. Now, we read about his offering was rejected, and it made Cain angry. The Bible says he was very wroth, and that means that he was very angry. He was upset. And you know, God said to him, he said, Cain, if you do the right thing, that is, if you bring a blood offering, if you bring a lamb and sacrifice it, he said that you'll be accepted. And he said, and if you don't, why, sin lieth at your door. So Cain, his offering was not an excellent offering because it was the work of his hands. You see, Cain, by faith, offered his sacrifice. And God accepted it because it was offered in faith. Because of the shedding of blood, he brought his offering. Now, Cain, he went out and he was angry. And so God said to Cain, he said, where's your brother? Well, the Bible said Cain and Abel talked. They had a conversation. I'm kind of the persuasion that Abel tried to persuade him. You know, you make the right sacrifice. You know, it takes the blood to cover sin. It takes the shedding of blood to cover sin. They had this conversation. And Cain just became even more angry, and he killed his own brother. He murdered him. So God came and he said, Cain, where's your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And so God said, and I want to go back to Genesis again. I wish I had marked these verses where it would have been easier for me to find, but I didn't do it. But this is what he said. He said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. His blood was crying out for justice. You see, Abel had done nothing wrong. And yet he was murdered. We hear on television a lot nowadays about people that are killed and their families and the mob. You know, they cry for justice, you know. Well, the blood of Abel was crying out for justice. He was killed for innocence, and yet his brother said, "I don't know where he is." And so God said, "Now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said, "My punishment is more than I can bear." So I want to go back over here just for a few minutes and talk to you a little bit more about Cain. I want to go to 1 John. Brother Sampson read this morning, and I thought he's going to ruin my sermon. You know, but it's still the Word of God. So listen. He said, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." You see, what he did proved that he was a righteous man. He did a righteous thing because he was a righteous man. Now listen, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." There's a part of man that is born of God in regeneration, in salvation. That part of man does not sin because God's seed remains in the soul of that man. His soul is made holy, and his soul does not sin. But now listen, in the children of God, in this the children of God are manifested. "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God." You know, that ought to make us aware what we're doing and whether we're, doing things that was displeasing to God or not. It says that the children of God are manifested by the righteousness that they do, the right things that they do. So he said, "This is the message that you've heard from the beginning," going back to Cain and Abel. And he said that we should love one another. He said, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." Now there's the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel was a righteous man. What he offered God proved that he was a righteous man. Cain was of the wicked one. He had not been born again. And his works proved that he had not been born again. And he said, "Wherefore?" And he slew his brother, you know. And he said, "And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous." That's the difference. That's why they did what they did. One of them was saved and the other one was unsaved. And their works declared that to be the truth. Now, I want to get back over here just for a few moments of time. I talked about the blood of Abel crying out for justice. And I thought about under the altar, 6th chapter of the book of Revelations, there were souls that were under the altar that had been slain for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said to God, how much longer is it going to be until you avenge our blood? They were crying out for justice. They had been martyred, and they were crying out for justice. Well, I want to tell you today that one of these days, every child of God is going justified. Their works will be made manifest, and they will stand justified. They will be avenged. Those that punish them, they will be punished, you see. And God said to them, now just a little while longer until more of your brothers will die as you have died. You know, in this 21st century that we're living in, there are still people who are standing for the truth and for the cause of Christ. And there are still people who are being martyred. Their lives are being snuffed out. By unsaved people. People that don't know and don't understand. That the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest news that has ever been heard in this world. It's the greatest news. But now I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 12 and 24 for a minute. In this 12th chapter here, I'm going to start at verse 22. This is what the Bible said. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Now this is having reference to the future. This hasn't taken place yet, but it's going to. He said, ye are come to Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion, of course, was the city of David. It was in Jerusalem. And it was called the city of the living God, or the city of God. But there is a new Jerusalem. There is a Mount Zion. You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about those who stood on Mount Zion. Who had on garments that had been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And another way of saying this, this is heaven that we're talking about now. Some of these days, all of God's children are going to heaven. Every one of them. And it said, you're come to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I don't know how many angels God created. That's a pretty interesting subject that I don't know much about. I believe in angels, but I don't know that much about them. I do know this, that no plan of salvation was provided for them. They stood on their own merits. And the Bible tells us about how the devil, Lucifer, how he led a rebellion against God. And he persuaded a third of the angels to join him in that rebellion. And they were cast out of heaven. And they were cast down to hell in the everlasting chains of darkness. You see, there's no plan to redeem angels. But thank God there is a plan to redeem man. Anyway, he said, you come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. We have churches like this one, independent Baptist churches, scattered all over this world. We've never met together. We've never met each other. But one of these days, all of the churches are going to meet in a General Assembly. All of God's people are going to meet. And he said, and the church of the firstborn, the church of those who have been born again, there will not be any in heaven who have not been born again. That's a requirement. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, he said, the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven. Did you know today, if you have been saved, God has your name recorded in heaven. And when you stand before the judgment, the books will be opened, and that book will be opened. And whosoever's name is not found in that book will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, let me go a little further. And I'm going to try to hasten and get done. And he said, and to God, the judge of all, we're going to face God. No man has seen God at any time. But we're going to stand before the judgment and we're going to face God. And he said, and the spirits of just men made perfect. I told you a while ago that when a person is saved, their soul is sanctified. It's made pure. And so all that have been justified, their spirits, they are the spirits of just men, men who have been justified, have a right relationship to God, a right standing in the sight of God. Their spirits have been made perfect. Now, in closing, I want to get this before you. Not only are we going to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Not only are we going to see the angels. Not only are we going to see every born again child of God that's ever lived in the world. We're going to see Jesus. It says in verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now Jesus ratified the new covenant with his blood. You know, Moses, he was the mediator of the old covenant, and he ratified it with blood, the blood of animals. And, that was a covenant of works. But the new covenant, a better covenant, the Bible said if the old covenant had have been perfect, there would have been no need for a new one. It wasn't. Wasn't anything wrong with it on God's side. It was on the human side where the failure was. You see, they did not keep the law of God perfectly. And so therefore, that covenant was not sufficient to get them to heaven. And I want to tell you today, your works, regardless of how good they may be, if you have not been born again, your works will not get you to heaven. They just won't do it. They just won't do it. But Jesus, he is the mediator of the new covenant. Now, the new covenant was made in heaven before the foundation of the world. Jesus, he agreed to come to this world and to shed his life's blood as a propitiation for sin. And so, his blood, no wonder Peter called it the precious blood of Christ, huh? You're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we're going to meet Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. You know, the blood of the Lord Jesus has to be applied. It's just applied in one way. It is by faith. By faith. Listen, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Abel done the right thing. He done it in the right way. Cain did not do the right thing and refused to do the right thing. And therefore, his sacrifice was not accepted before God. But listen, the sprinkling of blood. We read in Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, the blood of Jesus is applied to our souls by faith. When we trust in Him, He will save us. And He will apply the blood to our souls by faith. Now let me finish. He said, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus. I already went through this. But Abel, his blood cried out for vengeance, for justice, to be administered to the one who killed him. But you know, Jesus was murdered. I know He gave His life. I mean, they couldn't have done it if He hadn't allowed them to do it. But they arrested Him, they condemned Him, and they hung Him on a cross. And He shed His life's blood right there on that cross. And the blood of the Lord Jesus speaks. The blood of Jesus is speaking today, folks. This says that to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know, Jesus is not crying out for justice. He did not get justice. He was a perfect man. He did no sin. He manifested love to everybody, regardless of race, creed, or color. Jesus, you know, His blood is crying out for mercy for those who crucified Him. He's not crying out that they be eternally condemned. It's not His will that any should perish. The blood of Jesus is crying out today, I love you. His blood is saying, I want you to come to me. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He's offering mercy. He's offering forgiveness. He is offering eternal life. And He's not calling for justice. Jesus gave His life, and He gave it willingly, and His blood is still speaking today too. And it's speaking better things than the blood of Abel did. I heard this song, and I'm going to close. Back in the early 60s, I guess it was, my wife and our two children, We drove, and maybe it might have been in the 70s. It might have been 71. Anyway, back at that time, they were having what they called all-night gospel singings in Nashville at the Memorial Auditorium. And there were huge crowds that went. And so we wanted to go, and so we drove to Nashville. And before the regular singing began, they had a talent contest. And there was a group of young men. They sang a song that I had never heard before. I don't know what their names were. But they sang a song. The title of the song was, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." I've never forgot that song. I still remember it today. I think maybe Andre Crouch might have, Crouch or whatever his name is, I think that he might have made that song really famous. I think he did, but there were others that recorded it too. And it says, it reaches to the highest mountain and it reaches to the lowest valley. And he said, the blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. I know I've really been scattered today, but I want you to know the blood of Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. His blood still avails. In the old hymn, there's power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you o'er evil the victory win? There's power in the blood. I pray today that God will use this effort. I don't know why that I felt the need to preach this. And I don't know if I've connected it all up very good or not. But I pray the Holy Spirit will finish this message today. I used to listen to a man on television in Indianapolis. He was a terrific singer, piano player. And I didn't agree with his theology. But anyway, he would sing about half of the program and then he would preach a little bit. And when he come to the close of his sermon every time, he'd say, and I pray that God will finish the sermon. And I pray today that God will finish the sermon in your heart. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never had the blood of Jesus applied to your heart, you need it. It's absolutely essential to go to heaven. Reading the Bible about that innumerable company in heaven, and it said they were there because of the blood. Because of the blood. They had washed their garments and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And that didn't mean now that they had a robe and they had washed the robe in the blood. No, no. The blood is applied by faith. Trust in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And he will apply the blood. God bless you. I don't like to preach as long as I've preached today. But I tell you, I don't believe there's a more important sermon than the subject of the blood. The subject of the blood. somebody might feel the need to pray today. Brother Wayne, could we sing a verse or two of "There's Power in the Blood"? Let's stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity today to bow before God. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do the right thing and to do it the right way. Come to Jesus. Put your faith and your trust in Him and in His shed blood. The Lord will forgive you. He'll save you. He promised to save to the uttermost all that will come unto Him. While we stand and while we sing. One more verse. The next verse, the 25th verse of that 12th chapter of Hebrews. You know what it says? See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh from heaven. You look it up. It's in your Bible. See that you refuse not Jesus. He's tenderly calling. Will you come? Let's stand together and let's sing.
Number 23. Wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonders working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonders working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Verse 2. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonders working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonders working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. May God bless you. I love you. I want you to know that. I pray for the lost that come to our church every day. I want them to be saved. I hope that you will not refuse Him that speaketh from heaven. See, I'm not important. I'm just a country preacher, you know. I have no claim to fame of any kind. You know, I'm just a messenger of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to be saved. And I pray that you soon will be. I guess probably we've already Facebook audience is gone already, but if you're still watching and listening, I tell you, the sermon that applies to this congregation applies to every one of you out there. Amen. Wherever you may be, you can call on Jesus and you can find forgiveness of sin. May God bless you. Any testimony from anyone today? All right, thank you for coming. Don't forget our business meeting tonight at 6 o'clock.